We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, Bible Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Wheat, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 697, 697 weeks of weekly broadcast, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 856-854-4452 or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible? Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Deluxe genuine leather, 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 25,000 are over all over the world have their copies. And we have 5,000 more coming in this week, making a total in print of 30,000 copies. Why not order yours today? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then for those requesting it, we'd rather send you free and postpaid what we've been talking about in the broadcast these last weeks, 10 reasons why the Dean Burgon Society deserves its name. 67 large pages, BFT number 1847, and yours for the asking. We'll send it to you free and postpaid, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're talking about an acrostic here. The Dean Burgon Society has been smeared, and Dean Burgon himself has been smeared as something that is not proper. We've taken the acrostic on D-E-A-N for Dean, B-U-R-G-O-N for Burgon, and we believe, as Dean Burgon was, the Dean Burgon Society, which I've been president of now for 22 years, first of all, is a defending society, an educational society, an adamant society, a neglected society, a believing society, an undaunted society, a relevant society, a growing society, an obedient society, and a needed society. These are the reasons. We're now on page 12 of our 67-page report on 10 reasons why Dean Burgon deserves, the Dean Burgon Society deserves his name. First of all, Dean Burgon did not believe preachers could expound a text unless they believed the words to be inspired. He's talking about the Bible. The Bible as such, in the Hebrew text and the Greek text, he believes you have to, in order to preach the word, you have to believe it's inspired, God-breathed, in the first place. And that the translation that you hold in your hand as you preach it has been inspired of God in the Hebrew and Greek text, which we have. He said this in his book, Inspiration and Interpretation, page 117, quote, "How can you, that is, the ministerial students at Oxford University, pretend to expound a text unless you hold the words of that text to be inspired? What inferences can you venture to draw from words the divinity of which you dare not affirm?" End of quote. Well, this certainly goes to some of the things that we have it in the Westcott and Hort False Greek text that are omitted. For instance, in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness." The text Receptus in the King James Bible accurately say God was manifest in the flesh. And certainly the B and Aleph manuscripts don't have God was manifest in the flesh. They take away the deity there, the fact that God was manifest in the flesh, and just put he or who, something like that, instead of God. And so you can't preach that unless you believe that God inspired it in that Greek text, the text Receptus, that you have the translation from, rather than the text of Westcott and Hort, where they eliminate that word God manifest in the flesh in 1 Timothy 3:16. And then Dean Burgon defended, he's a defender, against heresy in his Anglican church. He was at the Church of England, and heresy, even back in 1883, was rampant in his own church. Now, you used to think, perhaps, and I used to think that in the olden days, people didn't doubt the scriptures as much as today. Well, they may not have doubted as much, but doubt was there. Satan was there with his doubts. And so Dean Burgon defended in his own church. He was a defending individual against the heresy that was there. Apostasy and heresy was present in Burgon's day, even as it is in our own day. And Dean Burgon was not a man to be content to sit in silence while apostasy and heresy were permitted within the clergy of his own church. He felt the heretics should leave the ministry. He did his best to expose them on every occasion possible. In fact, point A under this heading of exposing heresy in his own church, Dean Burgon was a watchdog who barked furiously when even the smallest danger threatened the church or the faith. Here's what Dean Burgon's biographer, Goulburn, had to say about this watchdog capacity in his biography, Volume 2, page 67. Goulburn said of Dean Burgon, quote, "What a splendid watchdog is he," said one of the authors, said one in the author's hearing, after perusing and throwing on the table one of the Burgonian Philippics, which is one of his statements in one of his papers. He says, "How loud and furiously he barks when the smallest danger threatens the church or the faith, which is entrusted to the church's keeping." Yes, it is the business of a watchdog to bark furiously, and even to fly at the throat of pilferers and thieves. And of all pilferers and thieves, there are none who more arouse the indignation of honest, God-fearing men than those who would rob the church of her faith and the Christian of his hope by the gradual depredations of rationalism. End of quote. Goulburn, the biography of Dean Burgon, Volume 2, at page 67. And so he was a barking watchdog against any encroachments against the faith of the Bible. That's what I tend to be also. I'd like to bark anytime heresy comes, and I believe that one of the greatest heresies in the fundamentalist world, as well as the new evangelical world and the modernist world, is to have the heresy of the wrong New Testament Bible. That's the greatest heresy that I find among fundamentalists today. Oh, there may be separatists. That's wonderful. I'm a separatist. They may have the doctrines of the sanctification and salvation and eschatology. They may be premillennial and dispensational, as I am also. Now, they may have all the different ecclesiastical doctrines, all right, and the doctrines of the church and the doctrines of the devil and Satan and angels. But if they have their bibliology incorrect, if the doctrine of the Bible is not proper, then their whole theology falls like a house of cards down to the ground. And so I like to bark, and I try to bark as loud as I can against this false, heretical, Westcott and Hort false Greek text that is used at Bob Jones University, that's used at Dallas Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, and some of these other schools, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary. These are fundamentalist schools. Dallas Seminary, of course, is not. That was my school. But I bark at that. And I bark also at the denial, even by fundamentalists, of the preservation of the Hebrew and Greek words of God. This is not talking about now the preservation of English words or Spanish or French words. This is talking about what God has promised, and the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, to preserve his words forever. His Hebrew words of the Old Testament, his Greek words of the New Testament. He's promised to produce those and to protect those and to preserve those words. And the fundamentalists deny this. They say, oh, just the thoughts, just the preservation of the concepts, the ideas, but not the words of Hebrew and the words of Greek. Let me continue. Dean Burgon hit his opponents rather hard because the words of inspiration were seriously imperiled. Here's what Dean Burgon wrote in Revision Revised, Roman numeral 7 and 8. Quote, "If therefore any do complain that I have sometimes hit my opponents rather hard, I take leave to point out that to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to embrace and a time to be far from embracing. A time for speaking smoothly and a time for speaking sharply. And when the words of inspiration are seriously imperiled, as now they are, it is scarcely possible for one who is determined effectually to preserve the deposit in its integrity to hit either too straight or too hard. End of quote. Revision Revised Roman numeral 7 and 8. No, Dean Burgon hit hard at the opponents of God's inspiration of his words. He hit hard when the words of inspiration were seriously imperiled, as they were then, as they are now, in fact. And so if some complain that he hits his opponents rather hard, he says it's impossible to hit either too hard or too straight. And then Dean Burgon was a defending man against apostasy in his own church. He thwarted the Liberal Party at Oxford University on more than one occasion by his unflinching conservatism. Goulburn, his biographer, wrote about this. Now, of course, Oxford University is where Dean Burgon taught. He was a teacher, a professor there at that school, at university, as well as being a pastor in his Church of England. Goulburn wrote this, quote, "It is to be wished that it were equally credible to the government of the day, who seemed to have been terrified out of a most suitable appointment by a few disparaging words in Parliament, inspired no doubt by the so-called Liberal Party in the university, that is at Oxford, who had been thwarted," now notice this is what I want to point out, "who had been thwarted on more than one occasion by Burgon's steadfast and unflinching conservatism and by his efforts to preserve the connection of the university with the church. This party was for revolutionizing Oxford. He," that is Dean Burgon, "for reforming it. Indeed, where it needed reform, had not the new theological school been established very mainly by his influence, but always on the old lines." He wanted to reform it along the old lines, not the rationalizing revolutionary lines of the modernist liberals of his day. Now, you might be interested in the Dean Burgon Society's webpage. Some of you have, I'm sure, internets, you're listening to us. You can get the webpage by simply dialing www.deanburgonsociety.org. deanburgonsociety.org. And that Dean is spelled D-E-A-N. Burgon is spelled B-U-R-G-O-N. deanburgonsociety.org. You can find out more about the Dean Burgon Society. The meeting is coming up in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, July 17th and 18th, the year 2001. Perhaps you can attend it. Let me continue. Dean Burgon preached a sermon against the disestablishment of religion at Oxford, which was removing belief in the 39 Articles of Faith. Dean Burgon's Church of England had a doctrinal position. The doctrinal position was that of what they called the 39 Articles of the Anglican Faith. And they were about to disestablish this as a requirement for those graduating at Oxford University, which was a Church of England university. And Goulburn wrote this, quote, "Your university tests bill is but one of a series of assaults destined to effect an entire separation between the university, that is Oxford, and the church. Its effect would be nothing less than de-Christianizing of the colleges of Oxford. The tests which it abolished, were the subscription to the 39 Articles, and the avowal thereby of membership in the Church of England, which hitherto everyone on presenting himself for a degree had been most properly required to make. This subscription was now required no longer, except in the case of degrees in the Faculty of Divinity." End of quote. Goulburn's Biography, Volume 2, pages 178 to 179. And so here you have a a battle and a fight. This university test bill taken in by Burgon's in Burgon's sermon on the disestablishment of religion at Oxford, the betrayal of a sacred trust. It was preached before the University of Oxford November 21st, 1880. And this was a terrific thing. And they wanted to take away doctrinal belief from the graduates of Oxford University. Now, I'm a Baptist, and he was a member of the Church of England, Dean Burgon was. And we differ on certain polities of the church, but he stood for the Textus Receptus, the traditional text, and the King James Bible, and the Word of God, and the details we would agree on that. But it certainly was improper for a Church of England who once had a requirement that they believed in the 39 Articles, which was the basis of their faith in the Oxford University graduates, and then to take it away. It was de-establishment of religion and belief at that university, and Dean Burgon stood up against it. Well, there's another thing he's defending against, and that is in the heresy of his own church. Dean Burgon wrote a lengthy criticism of essays and reviews, six of whose authors were ministers of the Church of England who were making light of their sacred profession. Here, this essays and reviews written by apostates, written by unbelieving Anglican Church of England ministers, six of them out of the seven. Here's what Dean Burgon wrote. Quote, "Secondly, essays and reviews attracted notice because six of its authors were ministers of the Church of England. Here were six clergymen openly making light of their sacred profession and apparently worse than regardless of their ordination views." Dean Burgon's Inspiration and Interpretation, Roman numeral 11, page 11. This essay and reviews was reviewed by Dean Burgon's book, Inspiration and Interpretation, which we have available. If you're interested in getting that excellent book, simply write us or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get Inspiration and Interpretation. It's a very important book, and the whole first half of it, over 250 pages, as I recall, Dean Burgon answers these essays and reviewers as far as their apostasy is concerned, and answers them extremely well. Well, what other thing did he defend against? Dean Burgon agreed with an infidel's description of the apostasy contained in essays and reviews, which he refuted. Now, here's a modernist liberal. Here's an apostate. He wrote a review of essays and reviews, and he, even though he was an apostate and unbeliever himself, Dean Burgon said, it's true what he wrote about this terrible, terrible book on essays and reviews. And by the way, another Anglican pair named Westcott and Hort, Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort, were asked also to write a criticism of essays and reviews, and they denied it. They did not want to write it. Do you know why? Because their views matched, in most ways, the views of the writers of essays and reviews. And so they refused to write a critique of it. Dean Burgon wrote a critique of it, 250-plus pages. Here's what Dean Burgon said. As an infidel, but certainly in this instance most truthful, as well as an able reviewer, remarked concerning the work in question. Now notice, this is the remark of a reviewer of the Essays and Reviews. Quote, "In their ordinary, if not plain sense, there has been discarded," now here's what's been discarded in these Essays and Reviews, by six apostate Church of England clergymen who wrote these articles. Number one, they've discarded the Word of God. They've discarded the creation, the fall, the redemption, justification, regeneration, and salvation, miracles, inspiration, prophecy, heaven and hell, eternal punishment, and a day of judgment, creeds, liturgies, articles, the truth of Jewish history, and a gospel narrative, a sense of doubt thrown over even the incarnation, the resurrection and ascension, the divinity of the second person, and the personality of the third. And to quote Dean Burgon, Inspiration and Interpretation, Roman numeral 11. All the doctrines of the faith, the essays and reviewers, have jettisoned have discarded, have thrown away. And Dean Burgon analyzed this heresy and defended against it for the truth of the Scriptures and of the Gospel. Now, this was the nature and the degree of apostasy that Dean Burgon refuted clearly in the beginning of his book, Inspiration and Interpretation. Remember, six of the seven authors of these essays and reviews were members of his own Church of England. This did not stop him from speaking out against them and exposing their theological errors. Now, some members of some churches today, if they're a Baptist church, they don't want to speak out against the Baptists. If they're some fundamentalists, they don't want to speak out against other fundamentalists that are wrong in certain areas. Whatever their position may be, oh, we've got to be quiet. If they're members of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, for example, and they see some of the changes and some of the diversions and some of the changes, for instance, in the King James Bible issue and the Textus Receptus issue and the Westcott and Hort issue, they don't want to speak out against it because they're part of this Fundamental Baptist Fellowship or the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, which I am a former member of, not any longer, because of their drift. And some of these GIRBC men do not want to speak out against anything. I got an article from Brother David Cloud recently, excellent article about Cedarville University. It used to be called Cedarville Baptist College, then it used to be called Cedarville College, now it's Cedarville University. And they're having an ecumenical charismatic giving a series of lectures at Cedarville University. It's a school that's endorsed by the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. I think it's horrible. I think it's something that should be remarked against. And Dean Burgon did not spare his remarks and his exposés merely because they were against members of his own church. Now, that's honesty. When the sacred Word of God is at stake and the truth of Scripture is at stake, we should by no measures in exposing of errors against the precious book of God. We should never stop or cease to expose error, wherever it may be, even if it's among our own friends, even if it's among our own church group, whatever it may be. If it's wrong, it's wrong and should be exposed. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, even above our quote-unquote friends. Well, how else did Dean Burgon defend against heresy? Dean Burgon handled the writers of essays and reviews just as freely as they handled divine truth. I like this section because people say, well, you're sort of rough handling these fellows. Well, here's what he said. When critics are clamorous for the free handling of divine truth, they must not be surprised to find themselves freely handled too. Let me pause right there. To free handle truth, which means to destroy it, to change it, to discard it, that's what he means by free handling of truth. In other words, not treating it properly. And so it should be no mystery that they themselves should be free handled as well. Let me continue. If free discussion is to be the order of the day, then let there be free discussion of essays and reviews as well as of the Bible. Six clergymen of the Church of England who enter upon a crusade against the faith of the Church of England must not be astonished if they are looked upon in the light of immoral characters. Did you get that? In the light of immoral characters and treated as such. Accordingly, I have handled them just as freely as they have handled the prophets, apostles, and evangelists of Christ. End of quote. Dean Burgon's book, Inspiration and Interpretation, Roman numeral 26, page 26. Well, he freely handled them because they freely handled and roughed up the Word of God. Now, that's what it means, to freely handle. That means to rough it up. Well, what other defenses did Dean Burgon have? Dean Burgon, we're on page 15 now of our book. You'd be glad to get it. It was sent it to you free and postpaid if you're interested in it. 10 reasons why the Dean Burgon Society deserves its name. Did you know there's an entire website against the Dean Burgon Society? They hate us with a passion. oh, they quote me and they quote different ones and they say, well, we're misquoting and Dean Burgon believed this and not that and so on. My friend, Dean Burgon identified the authors of his essays and reviews as guilty of blasphemy, irreligion, and infidelity. I tell you, he didn't mince any words. He did not mince any words. Let me continue to quote from that, from Inspiration and Interpretation by Dean Burgon, Roman numeral 24, page 24. Quote, some respectable persons, I doubt not, will think my treatment of them, that is, these authors of the essays and reviews, treatment of them harsh and uncharitable. I invite them to consider that we do not expect blasphemy from ministers of the gospel, irreligion from the teachers of youth, infidelity from the professor's chair, nor are we called upon to tolerate it either. Page 24, Inspiration and Interpretation, unquote. My friends, Dean Burgon went after these men. Yes, ministers of the gospel should not speak blasphemy. Teachers of youth should not have irreligion against religion. And professors should not spout out infidelity. And that's exactly what was happening here in the Essays and Reviews. Well, Dean Burgon continued. He believed that the Essays and Reviews sapped the foundation of faith. He wrote this, referring to Essays and Reviews, quote, a volume, the confessed tendency of which is to sap the foundation of faith and to introduce irreligion with a flood tide. End of quote, Roman numeral 24, Inspiration and Interpretation by Dean Burgon. But friends, he went after these men, and he did not appreciate their attempt to sap the foundation of faith and to introduce irreligion against religion with a flood tide. That's exactly what they did in that book, that horrendous, horrendous book. Then Dean Burgon did not think punctilious courtesy should be practiced in denouncing those who handle the things of God in an outrageous manner. In other words, here there were men that were handling the Word of God outrageously, and he did not think that punctilious courtesy should be extended to them because of that. Burgon was going mercilessly, quote, to uncover their baseness and uncompromisingly to denounce it. If I may be declare my mind freely, punctilious courtesy in dealing with such opinions becomes a species of treason against him after whose name we are called, and when we profess to, and whom we profess to serve. Seven men may combine to handle the things of God, it seems, in the most outrageous manner, while themselves are to be the objects of consideration, tenderness, respect. I cannot see their title to any consideration at all. Why? Because they've mishandled the Word of God. Well, we're going to stop right here. That's Dean Burgon's Inspiration and Interpretation, page 24. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We want you to continue to stay listening next week, my friends. We're going to continue 10 reasons why the Dean Burgon Society deserves its name. We are defending educational, adamant, neglected, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed. See you next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 698. 698 days of daily broadcasting, actually weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional text of English, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Might it ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in your King James Bible are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, either 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. You've got to get it. 25,000 all over the world have theirs. We had 5,000 come in the other day. Now 30,000 in print. Get yours. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then for those requesting it, we'll send you free and postpaid our 67-page, large-page book, 10 Reasons Why the Dean Burgon Society Deserves Its Name. This Dean Burgon Society is named for Dean John William Burgon. And as Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society is defending, educational, adamant, neglected, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed. I've been the president of this Dean Burgon Society for 22 years. We're on our 23rd year now. Coming up, we're going to be meeting in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area on July 18 and 19 here in the year 2001, coming up this July. All right, we're on the Dean Burgon Society's deserving of its name. We're on page 15 of this study. We're talking about how Dean Burgon defended himself and defended the faith against modernist apostates, even of his own church. He's talking about the Essays and Reviews. That was a blasphemous book that was gotten out by men even of his own faith, of his own church. He was a member of the Church of England, the Anglican Church, as it's called. And these men in the Essays and Reviews, six of the seven, were members of this Anglican Church, the Church of England, same as Dean Burgon was. And he says it's an outrageous thing for them to take away so many of the doctrines, regeneration and justification and the fall and creation and redemption and salvation, miracles, the inspiration, prophecy, heaven and hell, eternal punishment, and so on. Taking all these things away, and he was not about to deal in a courteous manner with these people who were apostate heretics in his own church. He wanted to uncover their baseness and uncompromisingly to denounce it. He says punctilious courtesy in dealing with such opinions becomes a species of treason against him after whose name we are called. So he goes after these men. And then Dean Burgon exposed his church's clergymen who denied the fact of our Lord's resurrection. He called them the worst enemies of Christ. Here's what Dean Burgon wrote. Let me read it to you from Inspiration and Interpretation, page 248 and 249. Dean Burgon says, quote, "Will men try to persuade us that the idea of our Lord's resurrection is a mere secure basis for the church's faith? The idea, then the fact of our Lord's resurrection?" Let's pause right there, end of quote. They're playing antics with semantics, as people have said. Talking about the idea of our Lord's resurrection is a more secure basis than the fact of our Lord's resurrection. Do you see that innuendo? Do you see that slicing of semantical definitions of words and terms? Why, we've always thought the idea of the Lord's resurrection is the same as the fact of the Lord's resurrection. But they play antics with this. They play tricks with this, with words, even back in Dean Burgon's day, 1881. And the idea of our Lord's resurrection instead of the fact. I tell you, these men today, these fundamentalist believers today, who cannot see through Westcott and Hort's apostasy and heresy are not able to see this either, I'm sure. The mind must be clear in order to see what is heresy and what is not. And you may, my friend, listening to this broadcast, you may think, well, what's the difference? But if you say the idea of our Lord's resurrection, or if you say the fact of our Lord's resurrection, well, the fact is different from the idea. The idea is just some notion. Whether true or false, it's not stated. It's some notion. That's what that is. But the fact is something entirely different. The fact is truth. The fact is reality. And this, of course, is a very important thing indeed. Let me continue. Dean Bergen says, not only will I not treat men with tenderness who put forth such blasphemous folly, but I will hold them up to ridicule to the very utmost of my power. Nay, I would make them objects of unqualified reprobation to all, if I could, as they deserve to be reprobated, for they are the worst enemies of the gospel of Christ. End of quote. That's strong language, but true language. Dean Bergen did not pull his punches, as they say. He did not apologize for evil, for false doctrine, for heresy, for apostasy, even when it came out of the pens and the mouths of his own clergymen in his own church. Nor should we. Whatever your church is, if it's on the apostate side of life, you have every reason to denounce it as false. Now, if your church is true to the Lord, as it should be, if you're attending it, if you're saved, you ought to praise God for that church. But if it veers from truth, you should denounce it. Now, in Dean Bergen's footnote on this last quotation, it's interesting, he said this, I have softened the expression originally employed in this place out of deference to the opinions of some wise and good men. Let's pause right there. He had some counselors. They said, well, Dean Bergen, this is a little bit strong. So he softened it. I tell you, that must have been really strong, because the softened edition is still very powerful. I will hold him up to ridicule to the very utmost of my power. I would make them objects of unqualified reprobation to all if I could. They are the worst enemies of the gospel of Christ. That's pretty strong. I wonder what it was before that was softened. Notice he says this in his footnote also. But I do not think that St. John, the evangelist and apostle of dogma, would have thought my language too strong. Nor St. Paul either. End of quote. Dean Bergen, Inspiration and Interpretation, page 248. And so neither John nor Paul would have thought that his language was too strong when he went after apostasy and unbelief. Well, let's take another quotation. Dean Bergen urged his fellow Anglican clergymen, who were heretics and unbelievers, to recall their words, either that or resign their stations. Recall their words or resign their stations. He's talking about the six clergymen that wrote in this book, the Essays and Reviews. Now he's speaking now, let me quote of the Essays and Reviews, and he says this, quote, they must first withdraw from the cause which they have betrayed. Let me pause right there and end the quote. Withdraw from the cause which they have betrayed. You know, betrayal is a very insidious effect, a very insidious program. Betrayal is a very insidious action. It starts with a thought. It starts with the understanding first, the mind. The betrayal begins in the mind. And these men, and we have men today all over the world, those who are listening to my voice, you have men who are supposedly ministers of the gospel right there in your community, right there in your area, wherever it may be, under the sound of my voice. And you have people who have have renounced the truth of the Scripture. They have betrayed the doctrines of the Bible. And this is a serious thing. Betrayal. Judas was the master betrayer. Judas Iscariot, the master betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that fact, when he kissed him, that was the sign that he was going to betray him. The one that I kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane, he it is that you must take. And the Lord Jesus reminded Judas that sentence that will go down in history, betrayest the Son of Man with a kiss? Betrayest the Son of Man with a kiss? The kiss of betrayal. Dean Burgon says that these pastors, these ministers, should withdraw from the cause which they have betrayed. They came as ordained ministers in the Church of England. They came with the alleged belief in the Bible and the doctrines of Scripture, and for the Church of England, that was the 39 Articles of the Anglican Church. They came professing belief in this. And now they write this terrible denial of the faith in the Scriptures. And they put it into what they call essays and reviews. Essays and reviews. And Dean Burgon simply calls upon them to withdraw from the cause which they have betrayed. In other words, take off your ordination, take off your clerical robes, resign from the ministry. That's what it means. Withdraw from the cause which they have betrayed. Why do apostate heretics, ministers, lost, hell-bound sinners, want to enter the ministry? That's a question that I have often raised. Why do they enter the Baptist ministry, some of them? Why do some of these apostate ministers enter the Methodist ministry? Why do they enter the Lutheran ministry? Why do they enter the Roman Catholic ministry? Why do they enter into the Episcopalian ministry and the Church of England ministry? Why do they enter the ministry when they have betrayed the doctrines of the Bible? Well, Satan has his ministers. Satan has his angels of light. And his ministers that are deniers of the things of God are in the churches. That's their plan. Take them over. Throw out the pastors that believe the Bible. Infiltrate the churches and turn them into apostasy and heresy. Dean Burgon says, no, withdraw from the cause which they have betrayed. Let me continue that quote. Dean Burgon says, they should cease to profess the teaching which they have disbelieved. Cease to profess. Now notice, you can say the Apostles' Creed till you're blue in the face. And I said it as a Methodist young boy many Sundays. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and so on. The Apostles' Creed. They profess the teaching which they have disbelieved. And these pastors, some of them apostate ministers that were in my church as the pastors in the Methodist Church, and there's still loads of them in the Methodist Church today, more than when I was young, as a young man. In the 1940s, when I was saved. And he says they should cease to profess the teaching which they have disbelieved. And I told my mother, who was a Methodist till she died, sad to say, she was a saved woman. I'm glad for that. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and Redeemer. I'm glad for that. But she was a Methodist until she died, and when I, as a young theological student, going to Dallas Theological Seminary at the time, when I came back on a vacation one time to Berea, Ohio, to the United Methodist Church, and I had an interview with the pastor of that church. I don't remember whether it was Pastor Manton or what his name was at the time. I made notes of his answers to my questions. He was an unbeliever. He did not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. He questioned the bodily resurrection of Christ, the eternal sonship of Christ, the eternal preexistence of our Savior, the second coming of the Lord, His bodily ascension to heaven, all the different rudiments and fundamentals of the Christian faith. He denied and he questioned. I told my mother about it. I read the answers that he said. Mom did not listen to me. She said, "Oh, son, you must be mistaken. This is a minister. He's a Methodist minister. He wouldn't deny these things." You see, in my mother's day, in my mother's era, when she was a girl and brought up in the Methodist church, those Methodist preachers believed the Bible. And she did not realize that from that day to this, when she was talking to me about it in the 1940s, she was born in 1900. And in 1940, she'd have been 45 or 46 years of age, 47 or maybe 50. And she took her minister's word to her son's word and thought that I was just some young man that did not know whereof I spoke. Dean Bergen says that these ministers cease to profess the teaching which they have disbelieved. That minister professed to be a Methodist. A Methodist like my mother had always known Methodists to do and to believe. But he was not a believer in Methodist doctrine. He had bolted the party. He had professed it, but had not possessed it. He disbelieved it. Dean Bergen says, cease to profess. Don't even profess it. Be an atheist. Be something else. But if you don't hold to the doctrines of the Methodist Church, which in those days were biblical doctrines, and many of them are still biblical doctrines, even though I'm a Baptist, many of those Methodist doctrines are still doctrines that are proper. He says, cease to profess the teaching which they have disbelieved. Then Dean Bergen continues. He says they are to resign their commission in a church to whose doctrine and discipline they openly claim themselves to be opposed. Resign their commission. That is, take away their own ordination, service, and rights. Leave the church. Take away the commission as a minister of the gospel of the Church of England, because they openly proclaim themselves to be opposed to the doctrine and to the discipline. Dean Bergen continues, they cannot imagine for a moment that as honest men they can remain where they are. They must, now let's pause right there, as honest men. How can honest men who know the doctrines and the doctrinal framework of, let's say, the Methodist Church, deny those doctrines? How can a Baptist in the American Baptist Convention, the Northern Baptist unbelieving convention that has many Baptist ministers in it that are unbelievers, how can they be honest men and remain where they are? How can they say that they want to be Baptists and yet they don't believe in the doctrines that Baptists have always believed, and biblical doctrines? How can they say that? Well, I don't know whether they're honest men or not. Don't you question whether they're honest? Don't you question a hypocrite when he professes to be a Baptist and he doesn't believe the Baptist doctrine, or professes to be a Methodist and doesn't believe the Methodist doctrine? Then Dean Bergen concludes this quotation and says, these essays and reviewers, they must either recall their words or resign their stations. End of quote. Inspiration and interpretation by Dean Bergen, Roman numeral 28, page 28, Roman numeral 28. That's a good solution to this mess that they're in. Either recall the words or resign the station. And that's what men today should do if they're in apostate churches and they don't believe the Bible doctrines that they're supposed to profess. Let's take a sixth point under the defense of Dean Bergen. He defended the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text. He defended the Textus Receptus traditional Greek text. He defended the King James Bible. He defended against the heresies of essays and reviews, heresies within his own church. Then in the sixth place, Dean Bergen defended against the heresy of Romanism and Romanizing practices within his church. Now this is interesting. The Church of England, the Anglican Church, in Dean Burgon's day, he died in 1888. He wrote Revision Revised in 1883. He wrote this Inspiration and Interpretation, I believe, in 1881 or 1880, in that frame of reference. And Romanism had begun to insert itself into the Church of England. Now, some uninformed writers have set forth the absurd and inaccurate information to the effect that Dean Burgon was in favor of Romanizing tendencies within his Anglican Church, and that he agreed with the Oxford movement of Pusey and Newman. Now, some have taught that. Some have tried to insinuate that in form of argument. Nothing could be further from the truth, as these quotations will show very clearly. Now, let me read some quotations to show you how Dean John William Burgon was against the Roman Catholic system. Here's one. Dean Burgon abhorred Romanism, just out and out. He said this in his biography, Goulburn's Biography of Dean Burgon, Volume 1, page 186, quote, "I see further that if I had a parish in London, I should stand almost alone. Romanism I abhor." Did you get that? Dean Burgon says, Romanism I abhor. I hate, detest Romanism. That is the Roman Catholic system. And then another quote. Dean Burgon condemned entirely the Roman Catholic error of prayer for the dead. Here's what he wrote. Quote, "Prayer for the dead, in the sense of a prayer that their ultimate doom, for weal or for woe, may be reversed or even mitigated, is a fond deceit, finding countenance neither in Scripture nor in antiquity. I condemn it entirely." End of quote. Goulburn, the Biography of Dean Burgon, Volume 2, page 246. So here Dean Burgon abhorred and repudiated prayer for the dead. And that's one of the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church to this very day. No, Dean Burgon didn't want Romanism. He was opposed to it. And then a third quotation. Dean Burgon was opposed to either ritualism or Romanizing practices in his church, the Anglican Church, the Church of England. Here's a quote from a letter of August 23rd, 1889. And this was written to Burgon's biographer, Goulburn. And Dean Burgon said this, quote, "You asked me about Burgon in convocation." I guess it's a letter about Dean Burgon. He brought with him strongly his dislike to that thing called ritualism. A man was telling about what Dean Burgon thought of ritualism. He said he brought a dislike to the thing called ritualism. I remember one occasion on which he pointed with a distinctiveness which could not be mistaken to our encouraging Romanizing practices. Encouraging Romanizing practices. That's from Goulburn's Biography, Volume 2, page 194. And so he pointed this out. Now, Dean Burgon also protested strongly against a florid ritual which made communion similar to the Roman Mass. Now, our communion services, as Baptists, many times many of us worship the Lord in the Lord's Supper, we call it, maybe once a month. Some of us, the first Sunday of each month, we try to remember the Lord's death until He come, as He told us to do. And in the Anglican Church, this communion or Lord's Supper, it almost turned into almost like a Mass, a Roman Catholic Mass. Here's what Dean Burgon's biographer, Goulburn, said about this. Quote, "But his letter to the Archbishop was only the precursor of a much lengthier and more substantial protest, which later, in this same year, Burgon made against the introduction introduction notice into the Church of England of a florid ritual. Stop right there and quote. A florid ritual. He was against it. Utterly unauthorized, as he thought, by the Book of Common Prayer, or rather condemned by it when fairly and reasonably interpreted, and the tendency and effect of which was to assimilate the service of the Holy Communion as closely as possible to the Roman Mass. End of quote. Goulburn, The Biography of Dean Burgon, Volume 2, page 189. Now, Dean Burgon was against anything that would make the communion service similar to the Roman Catholic Mass. You know, people think, well, he was high church and therefore maybe closer to the Roman system. No, he was not. He didn't want this Romanism in his church at all. Well, one more quote in this broadcast, and we'll close for the week. Dean Burgon opposed Romanizing and ritualizing tendencies. And his church, as well as ritualism and rationalism, which was undermining the faith. Here's what Dr. Goulburn, his biographer, wrote about Dean Burgon. Quote, "The close of this year gave Burgon occasion to declare himself as much opposed to the Romanizing and ritualizing tendencies in the church as he had hitherto showed himself to be, to the rationalism which was slowly on all sides undermining the faith and derogating from the honor and perfection of God's holy word." End of quote. And so Dean Burgon was against not only Romanizing, but rationalizing. Rationalism was one thing, Romanizing was another. He was opposed to both. Dean Burgon was a strong believer in the truth of Scripture. He was a strong believer against the rags of Rome, against those things in Rome that were wrong and unscriptural. And he was terribly discouraged that his church would go whole hog almost into that terrible Romanism and Roman Catholic practices and dogma. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We want you to continue to listen to 10 reasons why our Dean Burgon Society, which I've been president of now for 22 years, deserves its name. For 10 reasons, we're a defending society, educational society, adamant society, neglected society, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed society. And we do deserve the name as we listen to these things about Dean John William Burgon. Stay tuned to the next broadcast next week. Would you do that? Same time, same station. So long until then. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 699, 699 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. You can also get us at email, bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800. Have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in your King James Bible are defined in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 25,000 have their copies. 5,000 more have arrived. We now have 30,000 plus in print. Why not order yours today? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then if you'd like to get a copy of this, free and postpaid, we're talking about the 10 reasons why the Dean Burgant Society deserves its name. BFT number 1847, 67 large pages. Simply ask for it by name. 10 reasons why the Dean Burgant Society deserves its name. As Dean Burgant, the Dean Burgant Society is a defending society. We're educational, adamant, neglected, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed. It's an acrostic, D-E-A-N-B-U-R-G-O-N. We're still on Dean Burgant's defending, and the D for defending society, and he was a defending individual as well. Dean Burgant lived at the time of Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort when this terrible, terrible English Revised Version was made, and when the text of Westcott and Hort that underlay that translation was made. And Dean Burgant lived right at that same time. He was a contemporary of the Church of England men, Westcott and Hort, although they were liberal modernist apostates, and Dean Burgant was a conservative Anglican or Church of England man. Talking about his despising of the Romanizing influence of his church. Westcott and Hort, however, didn't mind at all the Romanizing of the Roman Catholic Church. Dean Burgant was so much against Romanizing of his church that he preached two sermons, August 1873, against it. Two sermons against it in August 1873. He says, quote, "On Wednesday and Thursday, the 1st and 2nd of October, in the year of 1873, was held the Oxford Diocesan Conference. The proceedings of which elicited from Burgant two sermons." This is from Goulburn, his biographer. "The conference which elicited from Burgant two sermons preached on the 12th and 19th of the month." Notice, "and published by him with a word of preface dated on the 28th. A footnote gives more information on the sermons. They were entitled The Oxford Diocesan Conference and Romanizing Within the Church of England. Two sermons preached at St. Mary the Virgin's, Oxford, October 12th and 19th, 1873, by John W. Burgant, B.D., Vicar of St. Mary the Virgin's, Fellow of Oriel College, and Gresham Lecturer of Divinity, in Divinity." That's from Goulburn's biography, volume 2, page 84. In other words, he was so incensed against the Romanizing, going back to the Roman Catholic Church of his church, his Anglican church, his Church of England, that he preached two sermons against Romanizing in that area. And then Dean Burgant repudiated the two resolutions made by the Oxford Diocesan Conference, which furthered the Romanizing movement within the Church of England. So he didn't only speak and preach, but he also repudiated two resolutions as well. Here's what Mr. Goulburn, the biographer of Dean Burgant, has to say about this. Dean Burgant explains that to both these resolutions, he personally entertained the strongest repugnance, but he discerns underlying both of them, and there is no doubt he was right in the discernment, he sees underneath them a growing impatience of the faithful laity at the Romanizing movement within the Church of England, which is even now making its way in many quarters, unrestrained and even unchecked and unrebuked, I should say. That's page 12. And then he says, in the second sermon, taking up a position directly hostile to many of my personal friends, that's the preface, page 57, "he," that is Burgant, "launches out with his usual plain speaking and intrepidity against the Romanizing practices and tenets which were being introduced and included and inculcated against the representing tradition, against the representing tradition as an unwritten word of coordinate authority with the written. That is page 18. In other words, the tradition was coordinating as far as power with the written word of God, the Bible. That is also against saint worship and Mariolatry. It's on page 19. It's also, Dean Burgum was against enforced habitual auricular confession. That's through the ear, auricular confession. That's at pages 19 and 20. He spoke out against transubstantiation and all the observances and ceremonial in connection with the Holy Communion, which are grouped around transubstantiation, such as vestments, the eastward position, fasting communion, and non-communicating attendance, as well as the phraseologies unknown to our own Book of Common Prayer, such as High Mass and Low Mass. That's page 12 and page 23. So here's Goulburn's biography, volume 2, page 85, that gives these different warnings of Dean Burgon against Rome and against the Roman Catholic Church, a defense of truth against error. And then Dean Burgon practiced and preached out against the ritualists and various Romish doctrines, which he called medievalism in the Church of England. Goulburn wrote this quote, preached before the University, at the University of Oxford, his sermon on Nehemiah, Pattern of Builders. The burning question was the revival of medievalism in the Church of England by the rituals. Their discussion of property of portions of faith exclusively dwelling on the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist as if it were the sum and substance of all divinity. Their industrious advocacy of the Romish doctrine of confession, and lighted candles and incense and blitz, and the use of the chapel, were on Canada away with them. The masculine vigor which the severe study of scriptures imparts to a well-trained mind must produce a recoil from all such trumpery, and utter revulsion of mind. It was the old story which he had foretold for the Bible, studied as a whole, was a sufficient refutation of all religious error, whether ritualizing or rationalizing. End of quote. That's from Goulburn, volume 2, pages 160 to 161. So here Dean Burgon comes up with the answer to this error. The answer to it is found in the Word of God, the Bible. And the Bible, studied as a whole, furnishes, as he says, the sufficient refutation of all religious error, whether ritualistic or rationalistic. And that's what we need to do. We have to focus the Bible on all these issues that confront us even today. And then Dean Burgon not only defended against the Roman Catholic heresies, but he also defended against the errors of the English Revised Version of 1881 and the underlying Greek text. He wrote an entire book. We've said it before. We've told you about it before on the air. The entire book called Revision Revised. One which, of course, we've published. We printed it. We've got all these things together. The Dean Burgon Society has published it in hardback edition. Beautiful, beautiful hardback edition. In fact, it's a new study. It's a new picture. Actually, it's a new cover, new type of cover, and new color of the cover. In fact, we printed 3,000 more. We've already printed 2,000, and now we have 3,000 in addition to that, the original printing. In other words, he wrote a whole book, as we said, a whole book called Revision Revised, where he went after the Revised Standard Version, not the Revised Standard, but the English Revised Version, I should say, of 1881, as well as the Greek text that underlay it. For instance, Burgon believed that the English Revised Version, revision of the sacred text, was an untrustworthy one from beginning to end. Here's what he wrote about it. Quote, "My one object has been to defeat the mischievous attempt which was made in 1881 to thrust upon this church and realm a revision of the sacred text which, recommended though it may be by eminent names, I am thoroughly convinced and am able to prove is untrustworthy from beginning to end. The reason is plain. It has been constructed throughout on an entirely, utterly erroneous hypothesis. End of quote. Dean Burgon, Revision Revised, page Roman numeral 5 and 6. And so he went after, with vehemence, this text of 1881 of Westcott and Hort. He went after with vehemence the translation of that text in the English Revised Version. He was dead set against it, and rightly so. And then Dean Burgon felt that he had crushed the Revised Version of 1881 so it would never lift up its head again. Well, if you stop and think about this, the 1881 Revised Version, or the English Revised Version of 1881, is just about finished. I don't know that it, in fact, it's not being reprinted now, whereas the King James Bible is being reprinted by the thousands and tens of thousands and millions all over the world. And so I believe Dean Burgon had a lot to do with knocking the English Revised Version apart, crushing it. He wrote this, quote, "One thing, however," he continued after a short pause, "is a consolatory reflection, that is a reflection that consoles, that I have been enabled to crush the Revised Version of the New Testament so that I believe it will never lift up its head again." That's his biography, Goulburn, Volume 2, page 291. Well, Dean Burgon did the job. It certainly has been knocked apart. It never has become the Bible of the churches, the Bible of the Christians, because an apostate, two apostates, thought it up and got it up and translated it as far as their wisdom or lack of it is concerned. Well, so we've taken up Dean Burgon as a defending individual, defending person. But also the Dean Burgon Society is a defending society. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, right now, in fact. Number one, the Dean Burgon Society's motto is in defense of traditional Bible texts. That's the motto. The very motto which appears in our DBS seal, our Dean Burgon Society seal, shows that we are definitely a defending society. And then number two, as Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society defends the Masoretic Hebrew text. The Dean Burgon Society, for instance, Articles of Faith, Operation and Organization, states very clearly, quote, "We believe that the texts which are the closest to the original autographs of the Bible are the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text from the Old Testament," and then dot, 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 unquote. That's from DBS Articles of Faith, page 2. And so he defended, and we defend also, the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible. Dean Burgon did it. We do it. We deserve the name Dean Burgon Society. Then in the second place, as Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society defends something else. In the third place, really, it defends the text of the King James Bible. Here's what the Dean Burgon Articles of Faith have to say. Quote, "We believe that the texts which are the closest to the original autographs of the Bible are," then dot, 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 "the traditional Greek text for the New Testament underlying the King James Version. And then it, as found in the Greek text underlying the English Version, authorized version of 1611, as published by the Trinitarian Bible Society in 1976. That's from DBS Articles of Faith, pages 2 and 3. And so here we have a resounding stand in favor of defending the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. No question about it. It's in the Articles of Faith, pages 2 and 3. Then a fourth thing about our Dean Burgon Society. As Dean Burgon, and we're saying we deserve our name because we're as Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society defends the King James Bible. Our Articles of Faith state as follows. Quote, "We believe that the King James Version, or authorized version, of the English Bible is a true, faithful, and accurate translation of these two providentially preserved texts, which in our time has no equal among all the other English translations. The translators did such a fine job in their translation that task that we can, without apology, hold up the authorized version of 1611 and say, this is the Word of God, while at the same time realizing that in some verses we want to and must go back to the underlying original language text for complete clarity and also compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, we believe that's important. That's what our Dean Burgon Society believes. It's a true and faithful and accurate translation of the two providentially preserved texts of Hebrew and of Greek. We don't use the word inspiration for the King James Bible or God's breathing it out. We don't use the word inspire for it. God's breathing things out. We believe that inspiration or God's breathing out the words are confined to the Hebrew and Aramaic words in the Old Testament, the Greek words in the New Testament. That's where the breathing out or inspiration concerns itself. And that word inspiration is based upon 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. And so the divine inspiration is defined, really, as the theonistos, theos plus pneo, God breathed. And he breathed out his Hebrew and Aramaic words and his Greek words as well. That's where inspiration or divine breathing out resides. And then we also see in our articles of faith, we believe that all the verses in the King James Version belong in the Old and New Testaments because they represent words we believe were in the original texts. Although there might be some renderings from the original language study, an exhaustive study rather, of the words or verses in the Bible, we urge the student to return directly to the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the traditional received Greek New Testament text rather than to any other translation for help. In other words, if there's a question about things, if there's a possibility of being misunderstood, go directly to the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts rather than to some other translation. Now, that's a reasonable view, I believe. It's a responsible view. I think it's a view that's all right. And then the fifth thing we say is Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society, believes and defends, we're a defending society, we defend the primary verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible. Now, this is a picture and a statement concerning the Bible, which we believe is the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek Bible. That's the Bible, the only Bible that God wrote. And he did not write it in Spanish or French or German or even in English. He wrote it in Hebrew, mostly in Hebrew, a very little Aramaic, and Greek in the New Testament. And this is what we call the Bible. A translation, we're not talking about a translation of the Bible. The Bible is what God gave us. Translations are what man gives to us from what God gave us. And we must discern and distinguish between the two. Now, it says in our Articles of Faith, speaking of this Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek Bible, we believe in the plenary, that is full, verbal, that is the words, divine inspiration, that is God's breathing out these things, of the 66 canonical books of the Old and New Testaments. That is from Genesis to Revelation, in the original languages. Now let's just pause right there. The inspiration, the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scripture is referring to the Bible as it is in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek language. And that's what he's referring to here. That's what our Articles of Faith are referring to. In the original languages, and in their consequent infallibility and inerrancy in all matters of which they speak. This is 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and 2 Peter 1, 21, and 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. The books known as the Apocrypha, however, are not the inspired Word of God in any sense whatsoever. Articles of Faith, page 2. So we can see that we stand in the Dean Burgon Society as far as our original language texts, our Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts. We believe they're plenarily, fully, verbally, the words, divinely, God-breathed and inspired. All 66 books that Moses wrote and Paul wrote, David and all the other writers of our Bible. Then in the sixth place, the Dean Burgon Society, as Dean Burgon, defends against the heresy of Romanism. Now, the Dean Burgon Society Articles of Faith do not have any specific statement concerning Romanism as such, but throughout these articles, the heresy of Romanism is precluded. And this is Articles of Faith, pages 2 to 4. In other words, without taking additional time to quote some of these passages, the very fact that salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing, that is an irritant to the Roman Catholic theology. They do not believe that it can be by faith that we can be saved. They believe, on the contrary, that it's by works and some of the ordinances of the Church, the Roman Catholic Church. And so we're definitely against Romanism. Then a sixth thing to point out. I guess it's a seventh here. Well, let me see. The sixth thing talks about the inerrancy. This is Romanism. And then the seventh thing it is. I'll get it in a minute. The seventh thing is the Dean Burgon Society defends against Westcott and Hort's Greek text. The Dean Burgon Society's Articles of Faith very clearly list 13 objects. And object number 4 states as follows. Here's object number 4 of our Dean Burgon Society. And that is this: to defend the traditional received Greek text which underlies the King James Version, as found in the Greek text underlying the English Authorized Version of 1611, as published by the Trinitarian Bible Society in 1976. That's DBS Articles of Faith, page 7. Now, this rules out Westcott and Hort's Greek text. And then object number six. States this: to expose and publicize the defects, deficiencies, errors, and mistakes, both in the texts used and also in the translation process and results of any and all modern translations of the Bible, whether in English or in other languages, which are not based on the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the traditional received Greek New Testament text, which underlie the King James Version. Unquote from that, and that's from the Articles of Faith, page number 7. And this is another thing that we believe. We're out and out against the Westcott and Hort Greek text. We believe in the text Receptus that underlies our King James Bibles. Very good enough for all of us. And again, this rules out Westcott and Hort's Greek text because object number 7 states this, quote, "Further, it should be our purpose to keep abreast of future bibliographic offerings in order to criticize and mark and warn against those deviations from the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the traditional received Greek New Testament text which underlie the King James Version." That's Articles of Faith, page 7. So we're going to have a lookout on all these things. We're against it. This discards Westcott and Hort's Greek text clearly and decisively. Then, paragraph number 8, we say, as Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society defends against the English Revised Version of 1881. And object number 6 speaks as follows: to expose and publicize the defects, deficiencies, errors, and mistakes, both in the text used and in the translation process and results of any and all modern translations of the Bible, whether in English or in other languages, which are not based on the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the traditional received Greek New Testament text, which underlie the King James Version. That's Articles of Faith, page number 7. I think you get the idea that our Dean Burgon Society is very, very conservative on the Bible and the meaning of it and the use that we have of it. All right, let's continue. Object number 5 states this: to defend the traditional English text of the Bible, the King James Version, or Authorized Version, as a true, faithful, and accurate translation from the underlying original text, which have been providentially preserved for us, which translation has no equal in our time. Notice, no equal in our time among all the other English translations. That's DBS Articles of Faith. And it's page number 7. This certainly includes the English Revised Version of 1881 as being inferior to our King James Bible. Well, we've taken up this first point, the first chapter, the first division, region number 1, Why, as Dean Burgon Society, we as the Dean Burgon Society deserve our name. We're defending, even as Dean Burgon defended. And a lot of times, perhaps the people don't like us either, any more than they like Dean Burgon. It's a terrible thing to have to bow to public opinion, however. If you know you're right, if you know that the scriptures are correct, that you hold in your hand, and if you know that you're right, you will stand up against evil and against wrong. We appreciate the different ones in our church that have stood up for the wrong and will continue to do so. All right, the next reason number two, as Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society is an educational society. Let's go to Dean Burgon first of all. He was an educational individual. Dean Burgon, first of all, educated by writing his many books on the traditional text. That's educational material. That's real, solid education, and that's what he did. And we've reprinted 5 of these books on the traditional text, as we've said many times before. We want you to get them. We think they'll be of great interest. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us together, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you've got to have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. My friends, I hope that you'll continue to listen to us next week. We're going to continue this broadcasting. We're going to stand up for the Dean Burgon Society. We believe that it deserves its name. We believe that the Dean Burgon Society deserves its name for 10 reasons. As Dean Burgon was, so we are, defending, educational, adamant, neglected, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed. We're on number 2 reason. It's an acrostic for DEANBURGON, but we're on number 2, which is the Educational Society. And more of this next week. We hope that you'll stay tuned to this important subject. You can get this book if you want it. Write us. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. See you next week. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 700. Weekly broadcast number 700, 700 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its 7th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today. Uncommon words in your King James Bible are actually defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print for tired eyes, or 10-point medium print. Over 25,000 have their copies. 5,000 more came in. We have 30,000 in print. Why not order yours today? 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, for those requesting it, we'll send you free and postpaid 10 reasons why the Dean Burgon Society deserves its name. 67 pages. We've been talking about it these last weeks. I want you to get a copy, free and postpaid, if you're interested in it. And we believe that the Dean Burgon Society does deserve its name, the Dean Burgon Society, because as Dean Burgon was, so the Dean Burgon Society is a defending society, educational society, adamant, neglected, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed. An acrostic on the name Dean Burgon. We're talking now on page number 21 on reason number 2. As Dean Burgon, the Dean Burgon Society is not only a defending society, but also an educational society. First of all, Dean Burgon was an educational individual. He educated by writing his many books on the New Testament text, the traditional text, the received type of text. Dean Burgon's books in the traditional text, Greek, which have been reprinted by the Dean Burgon Society, are 5 in number. Number 1, the Revision Revised, which is number 611. Number 2, Inspiration and Interpretation, which is number 1220. Number 3, the Last 12 Verses of Mark, which is number 1139. Number 4, the Traditional Text of the Holy Gospels, which is number 1159. And number 5, the Causes of Corruption of the Traditional Text, which is number 1160. All of these are powerful educational tools which should be owned and read by everyone. This will take the Westcott and Hort theory right out of your system. These 5 books will explode and throw away and discard the Westcott and Hort false theory of B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, these false Egyptian heretical Greek texts. He was an educated man, Dean Burgon, and he educated by writing. And number 2, Dean Burgon educated by training men for the ministry. Dean Burgon was greatly used in his day in the presentation and preparation and training of what we call today preacher boys in his own denomination, the Church of England, the Anglican Church. He held a post at Oxford University for many years, as well as being an active pastor. The last half of his book, which is Inspiration and Interpretation, is a series of lectures about the Word of God to young men at Oxford who were studying for the ministry. He was educating by training men to preach. And then, as Dean Burgon was an educational man, so the Dean Burgon Society is an educational society. In the first place, the Dean Burgon Society educates by its own Dean Burgon News. Since its founding in 1978, 22, almost 23 years ago, the Dean Burgon Society has published many issues of the Dean Burgon News. This is an educational venture and going to many individuals, pastors, and school libraries. And so we're an educational organization as Dean Burgon. In the second place, the Dean Burgon Society educates by its printed books and pamphlets. Through many years of our existence, and I've been the president of this Dean Burgon Society for 22 years now, going on 23. We educate by the publication of the following pamphlets or booklets. Number 1, the Articles of Faith, Operation, and Organization. That's number 958. We educate by that. Number 2, Bible Preservation. That's number 1389. We educate by that pamphlet. Number 3, Defects in the So-Called Majority Greek Text. That's number 1448. Number 4, we educate by defects in the New King James Version. That's number 1465. Number 5, we educate by the KJV 1611 compared to the present King James Version. That's number 1495. We educate by defects in the New American Standard Version. That's number 1518. And then number 7, we educate by how we got our Bible. That's number 1562. And then number 8, we educate by why reject the so-called majority text. That's number 1727. We educate by number 9, Awana churches keep using the old King James. That's number 1738. Number 10, we educate by Awana's errors in leaving their King James Bible stand. That's number 1823. Now, these are all available from our Dean Burgon Society for the asking. This is an educational society. As Dean Burgon was educational, so the Dean Burgon Society as well. Then in the third place, the Dean Burgon Society educates by its annual meetings on audio and video cassettes, as well as a message book in writing. Each year, we have a Dean Burgon Society annual meeting. And the messages are recorded both on audio and video cassettes and also made available on this, the Dean Burgon message books. They're available to anyone who wants to hear or see them or read about them. This is certainly an educational ministry. We do not we do get requests for the tapes and for videos and the message books each year so that people can learn from the Dean Burgon Society speakers. And we believe this is one of the important features of our Dean Burgon Society in educating our position to others who need to know it. And then number four, the Dean Burgon Society educates by its articles of faith. We have articles of faith, operation, and organization that we founded back in 1978, 22 years ago, almost 23 years ago. It's an educational pamphlet in and of itself. It gives information about our Dean Burgon Society, such as our name, our articles of faith, which includes our belief about the Bible, the Trinity, the person of Christ, the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, salvation, heaven and hell, spiritual unity, purity of the church, separation, creation, the purpose and object of the society, including 13 different objects, our membership, our officers and administration, including the title officers, the executive committee members, advisory council members. It talks about our finances, our parliamentary authority, our meetings, our prayer and praise, our tax-exempt provisions and dissolution of the society, and our amendments. This certainly is educational throughout as to what we believe. And then in the fifth place, the Dean Burgon Society educates by making over 1,000 titles available in defense of the King James Bible and its underlying Greek and Hebrew texts. As of this message today and this broadcast today, we have over 1,000 titles available through our Dean Burgon Society and the Bible for Today ministry, defending both the King James Bible and the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. Now, this array of documentation, these consist of books, both old reprints and current volumes, articles, pamphlets, tracts, audio cassettes, and video cassettes. These are over 1,000 titles. I don't know that there's another organization other than the Dean Burgon Society and the Bible for Today that have over 1,000 titles in defense of the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. Well, let's go on to reason number three why our Dean Burgon Society deserves its name. We have a battle with many people in our world today saying that the Dean Burgon Society shouldn't be called Dean Burgon. We shouldn't use Dean Burgon's name, who died in 1888, Church of England man, an Anglican man, fundamental in his faith, believing his articles, the 39 articles of the Anglican Church, and combating the falseness of the Greek text and the theory behind that text of Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort, also of his same church, the Anglican Church, the Church of England. So reason number three, as Dean Burgon, so the Dean Burgon Society is an adamant society. Adamant. That means firm, strong, unmoving. Now, Dean Burgon was an adamant individual. First of all, Dean Burgon was adamant in his refusal to compromise in general. Dean Burgon refused to compromise, first of all, in general, by sticking to his colors. His biographer, Goulburn, quoted from Dean Burgon's letter to a young fellow student. And here's what he wrote, and I like this very much. This was from his biography, Volume 1, page 148. He said this, quote, "Anyhow, our course is clear. Through good and ill report, to stick to our colors." Notice, praying for sweet tempers and strong hearts, if need be, advancing nothing one does not feel sure of, and when once advanced, dying rather than recalling. I'm inclined to think with joy, or with you rather, that a fiery trial is at hand. End of quote. Dean Burgon's biography, volume 1, page 148. Don't you like that? Through goodwill and ill report to stick to our colors, our course is clear. Praying for sweet tempers and strong hearts if need be, advancing nothing one does not feel sure of, and when once advanced, dying rather than recalling. Now listen, if we are sure of our ground, as I am sure of my ground, and our Dean Burgon Society is sure of its ground, our Bible for Today is sure of its ground, standing for the King James Bible, standing for the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie that Bible, we are sure of that ground. And we'd rather die than to recall our position. As Dean Burgon, he refused to compromise by sticking to his colors. He's going to stick to them regardless if he's sure, with a sweet temper and, if need be, a strong heart. And then in the second place, Dean Burgon refused to compromise in general by delivering himself with courage. Biography, volume 2, page 405, Goulburn remarks, quote, "For his trumpet gave no uncertain sound, and on all great questions as they arose, and there were many, he delivered himself with courage as one who was convinced himself and strove to convince others." My friend, listener to this broadcast, are you convinced yourself that your position is correct as to the King James Bible superiority, as to the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies that King James Bible, as to the received Greek text that underlies that New Testament King James Bible? Are you convinced yourself? Are you striving to convince others? This broadcast strives and seeks to convince others of the strength and purpose and honest position and truth of our position and view. And that's what Dean Burgon refused, adamant. His trumpet gave no uncertain sound. And then in the third place, Dean Burgon refused to compromise in general by his indomitable force of will. Goulburn wrote as follows, quote, "The character, that is, of Burgon itself, was one of great originality, with a vivid color, and an indomitable force of will all its own. This force of will, which gave him a tenacity of purpose in carrying into effect everything he undertook, by its very unyieldedness, failed entirely to carry others with it." Now notice, let's pause right there. Because he was strong and unyielding, others did not follow readily Dean Burgon. And I guess that's true of many in the Dean Burgon Society. Many do not follow us either. Because he was unyielding, he was uncompromising. Let me continue the quote. Goulburn says of Dean Burgon, "Compromise was a word unknown to him, and therefore he stood and acted alone, and never had, as indeed he never cared to have, a following among his equals." End of quote. Now that's glad and sad at the same time, in the same breath. I'm sure he would have been interested in having a following by his equals, those other pastors of the Church of England. But the tenacity of purpose, the uncompromising, unbending, indomitable force of will refused to compromise with unbelief. And many in his church, the Church of England of that day in the 1880s, were compromising and moving toward Rome and moving toward the masses and various other things that Romanism had. Dean Burgon was not about to move, and he didn't care if he didn't have a following. He believed he was right, and we believe he was right, and so he stood and acted alone. Can you think of any other person or people in history or in the Bible that stood and acted alone? Can you think of Elijah? Can you think of Moses? Can you think of Jeremiah or Isaiah, or some of the prophets? Can you think of Paul the Apostle? Can you think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? It's not always bad to stand and act alone, provided you're standing for truth and acting for truth. That's the important thing. No matter who is following you, of your equals or your superiors or inferiors, as far as that is concerned, the main most important thing is, are you acting to please your Savior if you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God your Father if you're a saved person? That should be the measure. That should be the goal of all that we undertake. And then in the fourth place, Dean Burgon refused to compromise in general by his obvious sincerity. His biographer says, there never could be a doubt of Dean Burgon's sincerity. It was written in his very looks, as it found expression in his words, his writings, his actions. End of quote. Volume 2, page 403. In his very looks, he was sincere. Well, then Dean Burgon was adamant in his refusal to compromise on the Word of God. Not only in general, but on the Scriptures, the Word of God. He did not wish to compromise in any way on the Scriptures. Dean Burgon, first of all, refused to compromise on the Word of God by maintaining the integrity of the written Word of God. Dean Burgon's biographer, Goulburn, wrote from Volume 1, page 1, quote, Burgon was in this country the leading religious teacher of his time, who brought all the resources of genius and profound theological learning to rebut the encroachments of rationalism by maintaining inviolate the integrity of the written Word of God as the Church has received it. End of quote. Now that's a wonderful quote of his biographer, Goulburn, is it not? He calls Dean Burgon a genius. He calls Dean Burgon as having profound theological learning. And he said, in his country, the leading religious teacher of his time, to rebut the encroachments of rationalism and the unbelief. Rationalism means you throw away the Word of God for your reason. And he held inviolate, that is, without any doubt or questionable activity, inviolate the integrity of the written Word of God as the Church has received. And then he was adamant in that he refused to compromise on the Word of God by his burning zeal for it. His burning zeal. His biographer wrote, quote, Burgon exhibited in his reply a crowning specimen of that burning zeal for God's truth and that splendid, uncompromising intrepidity and outspokenness which characterized all his controversial efforts. End of quote. Burgon's biography, Volume 2, page 272. So here he was outspoken, intrepid, splendid and compromising, had a burning zeal for God's truth in all of his controversial efforts. Now, is controversy always wrong, my friend? Now, think about it. If people, some of them say, well, let's not have controversy. Let's be done with controversy. Let's just have a nice, even, smooth sailing. My friend, there are storms in life that come up, and there are storms in the churches that come up, and there are storms in the truth and about the Bible that come up. And someone has to sail into that storm and straighten the thing out, at least sail through it and keep on track and on course, despite the fair and foul winds that blow against us. We've got to stand, and Dean Burgon had, in his controversial efforts, outspokenness and splendid, uncompromising, burning zeal for God's truth. And then Dean Burgon refused to compromise on the Word of God by maintaining again the burning zeal for the Word of God as a champion in his cause. Goulburn wrote in this, he quoted from the pastor and who delivered Burgon's funeral sermon. And here's what the pastor said as the funeral sermon was delivered. Quote, it was his burning zeal for the Word of God which stirred him to come forward as a champion in a cause which he thought was being betrayed by those who should have been its guardians. End of quote. Bergon's Biography, Volume 2, page 405. Did you get that? This is the sad thing that is true in our day as well. And we need a burning zeal for the Word of God. We need to be stirred. We need to come forward as a champion in a cause as Bergon thought was being betrayed by those who should have been its guardians. Ministers and preachers and pastors who are modernistic and apostate and unbelieving should be the guardians of the Word of God, not its betrayers. But yet that's exactly what we have today, as in Bergon's day. And so he rose up as a champion. And he was right, as he thought these who were betraying the cause, and they should have been the guardians of that very cause. And then Dean Bergon refused to compromise on the Word of God by his reverence for it. Biography, Volume 2, page 403, says, "No part of his character was more remarkable than his reverence for the Word of God." What an epitaph to put on our tombstone: reverence for the Word of God. What a marvelous epitaph for Dean Bergon: reverence for the Word of God. That is, we don't change it, we don't alter it, we accept it, we preach it, we teach it, we examine it, we exhort by it, we love it, we memorize it. Dean Bergon had a reverence for the Word of God. That's why he wrote these five tremendous volumes and books, over 2,000 pages, in defense and the reverence for the very words of the living God. And then Dean Bergon was adamant in his refusal to compromise on the Word of God by treasuring this Word of God as infinitely precious. He refused to compromise. On the other hand, he treasured the Word of God, treasured it as being infinitely precious. Goulburn wrote, quote, "Every jot and tittle of the Scriptures was infinitely precious to him," that is to Dean Bergon. "He treasured them," that is these Scriptures, "not as the word of man, but the Word of God, given by a real, immediate inspiration and communicated to his servants, prophets, evangelists, apostles, each in his own good time." Volume 2 of his biography, page 403. It was infinitely precious, the Scriptures were, to Dean Bergon. He was adamant. He was unmovable in the truth. Well, what about our Dean Bergon Society? As Dean Bergon, so the Dean Bergon Society is an adamant society. We're not going to move either. In the first place, as Dean Bergon, the Dean Bergon Society was adamant in its refusal to compromise in general. The Dean Bergon Society has showed itself that it is adamant in its general doctrinal tenacity. Now, there are very many organizations that take all the firm stand. There are not very many, I should say, that take all the firm stands in doctrine that our Dean Bergon Society takes. Do you know that there are some people and organizations and churches and groups and men, like John MacArthur, for example, who used to, now he claims he doesn't, but he used to deny the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Article 2, Section C, on page 4, our Dean Bergon Society accepts his eternal sonship. And a second doctrine that some have denied: the power of Christ's redeeming blood. Again, John MacArthur is questioning the redeeming blood as meaning blood, rather than simply as a metonym for death. Oh, he'll say that he believes in Christ's redeeming blood, but as you define blood, what does he mean by blood? It isn't blood at all. It's simply death. It's a metonym, a figure of speech for death. No, my friend, we believe it's Christ's redeeming blood, as blood that redeems. We say that in Article 2, Section E, page 5 of our Articles of Faith. And then a third adamant doctrine that we hold as a Dean Burgon Society. We believe the biblical separation from both apostasy and from disorderly brethren. That should be a doctrine from all to speak and to talk about. And yet many are denying this. Biblical separation from both apostasy and disorderly brethren. Article 2, Section K, page 6, states this. And then we're adamant in another area. The area of direct creation by God of the universe and of man in six literal solar days. We don't believe in the day-age theory. We believe as a society we're adamant in six literal solar days. And those people that don't believe in those six literal solar days cannot and should not be members of our Dean Burgon Society. We're adamant in this. Article 2, Section L, page 6. It would be difficult to find very many organizations that are clear on all four of these doctrinal distinctives, especially since each of them is under severe attack in our days. But the Dean Burgon Society is adamant in the defense of each one of these. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved and should go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We want you to stay tuned. The next broadcast, same time and same station, we're going to continue the society, the Dean Burgon Society, as it deserves its name, just like Dean Burgon. We are defending. We're educational, we're adamant, we're neglected, believing, undaunted, relevant, growing, obedient, and needed society. Why don't you join us? Why don't you stand with us? You can order this 10 Reasons Why the Dean Burgon Society Deserves Its Name, free and postpaid. See you next week, same time, same station.